Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BrooklynBaptist.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 050519. 050519. Be thankful. Coming from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 14 through 23. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I want to try and preach from the subject, be thankful. Be thankful. Jump. Jesus understands my problems. In this series of sermons, we wanted you to embrace a comfort level in the pain and problems of life that will enable and empower us to keep on pressing, keep on moving. In the words of our elders, keep on keeping on. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We encourage you to pray for jumping grace. For us to truly know that Jesus understands our problems is for us to have the blessed assurance of his abiding presence. Jesus loves. Jesus cares. Jesus understands. Jesus is concerned. Jesus is compassionate. And I could go on and not come close to the character of his supreme, superior, and sovereign lordship. Our Jesus, who understands, is not bound by clocks and calendars, circumstances and conditions. In fact, there is nothing we can say about him that can adequately define or explain who he is. His mysteries cannot be encompassed in a human mind. He cannot be understood or appropriated by our shallow thinking or fully touched or felt by our human emotions. In fact, everything we say about Jesus only points in the direction of who he is. Nouns are too feeble to name him. Verbs cannot explain his being. Adjectives cannot describe him. Every testimony about him is punctuated with a comma instead of a period. When you give witness of Jesus, in truth, there is no ending. Every sentence about him should actually include the conjunction and. For instance, he is a mother when you're motherless, and a father when you're fatherless, and a doctor in your sick room, and a lawyer when you're in trouble, and a shelter in the time of storm, and a bridge over troubled waters, and on and on and on, infinitesimally. Jesus, jump, understands my problems. My beloved in the Lord, that within itself is something for which to be thankful. In our text, Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and the purpose of the letter was to encourage the young believers. He wanted to assure them of God's love, commend them for their faithfulness, and also, he wanted to remind them of the hope that we have in Jesus, our Christ, the risen Lord. And so Paul is giving his final instructions. And according to the New International Version, Paul says, beginning in verse 11, encourage one another. Build each other up. Acknowledge those who work hard among you. Those who care for you. Don't forget those who look out for you. Live in peace with each other. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with one another. Always strive to do what is good for each other. And he continues speaking to the church at Thessalonica when he says, rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. The King James Version says, in everything, give thanks. Every November we celebrate Thanksgiving. It is a day for thankful reflection, and we gather with family and friends for feasting and fellowship. Turkey and turkey dressing, the like, cranberry sauce, pumpkin, potato pies, and the like. But Paul is saying that our thanks unto God should never end. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. It is the will of God to do so. So regardless how difficult our circumstances may be, we can find reason to thank God. We can be thankful that God's word is true. Now, we can become thankful that all things work together for our good if we love God. We can be thankful that God's grace is sufficient. We can be thankful that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We can be thankful that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Now, we may not always thank God for everything, but we should thank God in every circumstances. Let me put it like this. In other words, we might not thank God for our car accident, which totaled the car, but we can truly thank God that he delivered us from what could have been a fatal car accident. We may not find a reason to thank God for the sickness or the unfavorable report the doctor gave us, but we can surely thank God for doctors whose abilities have been anointed and they know the Lord Jesus Christ and medicine that helps and heals and sustains our lives. We may not think we can thank God for the trouble in which we found ourselves. We would certainly thank God, however, for our faith being matured. How much better we become and how much wiser we now are because of our trouble. We might not thank God for the breakup of our relationship of a battering and a bitter divorce, but we can definitely thank God that he kept us close in our right minds. We may not feel like we can thank him because we lost our job and our home is in foreclosure, but we can surely thank God for the love of family and dependable friends and knowing that we have a caring God who has kept us while we were in between jobs. Find something in the midst of what you're going through to be thankful. When we thank God for what he's already doing, it moves God to do more and to give more. There's something special about saying thank you. Going up on Double Branch Road, less than 1 mile from where we are, Reverend McGee, my three brothers and I, learn from our mama, learn to say mama and daddy. And after learning how to say mama and daddy, they taught us to say tata. Now, you young folk don't know anything about tata. They taught us to say tata, which was their way of saying thank you. They told us people don't have to do for you what they do for you. And when someone does something for you, the least you can say is thank you. Be thankful. We can even be thankful for our struggles because without them, we would not have stumbled across our strengths. We must be thankful for the things we already have, because if you're not thankful for what you already have, it's not likely you're going to be happy with more. May I suggest something? Let me suggest something. One morning, nice day, upon awakening with God's new mercies, do something for me. Dress yourself up. Walk outside. Look up into the heavens and say, Lord, I'm thankful. Are you praying now? It can change your whole attitude and approach to your day. You just say, Lord, as you look around and about you and behold the majestic beauty of God's creative genius, it will enable you to say with greater truth, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, in everything, be thankful. Tell us, Paul. You have our attention. You've said, in everything, be thankful. So Paul says to us, I am encouraging you. I am urging you to be thankful because thankfulness gives you an edge on life. Thankfulness keeps you rooted and grounded in your faith. Thankfulness keeps you focused on the power of God over life. Thankfulness keeps you going when the devil would have you give up. Thankfulness keeps you looking up when circumstances are trying to tear you down. Paul says, be thankful. Let us note that the Apostle Paul urges us to be thankful after his personal own hard and cruel experiences encountered as a Christian missionary preacher. Paul was not speaking from the cuff or from limited experiences. Paul was not speaking because he was exempt from hardships and heartaches. There were painful predicaments and problematic people throughout his life. Paul was imprisoned at Ephesus, stoned at Lystra, stripped and ripped at Philippi, scorned at Athens, forsaken by friends in Rome. Paul was haunted on land and shipwrecked at sea, yet he declares, be thankful. Yeah. Yeah. How, Paul, can you be thankful in everything? Beatings and imprisonment, disappointments and deceit, hatred and hostility, everything. How, Paul, can we be thankful? How do you look beyond the pain of your present circumstances and focus on the facts of your future in Christ? Paul said, well, first of all, do this. You want to be thankful in everything? He says, first of all, he said, I try to keep in perspective God's blessings we often take for granted. Let's briefly conduct a personal self-assessment, if you don't mind. Let's look at it. Let's look at who we are, where we are, and what we have. When you look at the look, the who, the where, and the what of your life, to whom do you give the credit? Who do you attribute for who, your where, and your what? In other words, who do you really think has been responsible for you being who you are? Who do you really think is responsible for you being where you are right now in life and having the things that you presently have? An honest assessment. The good job you have, the education you received, the degrees you earned, the opportunities you were given, honest assessment. The home you're living in, the car you're driving, the clothes you're wearing, honest assessment. Breath in your body, activity of your limbs, a reasonable portion of health and strength, clothed in your right mind, honest assessment. Your soul saved, your sins forgiven, your errors erased, your bruises blessed, your cares comforted, your problems solved, your illnesses healed, your finances straightened out. Honest assessment. If you're honest with yourself, you will know that God was there all the time. Sometimes you did not know what you were going to do. Sometimes you did not know if you could turn to your own family or your friends. Sometimes you didn't really know if you were going to make it or not, but somehow, you made it. Somebody ought to say, I made it. You made it. Does anybody have to tell you you made it? Does anybody have to tell you how you made it? Does anybody have to tell you who helped you get to where you are? Do you know who was behind the scenes? Do you know who healed your body? Do you know who made that way for you? Do you know who was there all the time? I tell you, the Lord was there all the time. Even when we did not deserve it, even when we were not cooperating with him, even when we asked questions, didn't understand, and got angry with him, even when we may have left him, he never left us. He was there all the time. I say to you today, it is a truth. It is a fact. If it had not been. That's just not scripture for me. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Paul said, I'm thankful because I know what God has done for me. Take not his blessings for granted. Secondly, Paul says, we can be thankful because God is leading us to an expected end. I think I dealt with this a little bit in sermon number one because I said, we don't understand it. We ask why, and the answer always escapes us. Our faith tells us that God is leading us to a desired destination. And the destination is according to his plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11, we often quote it from the New International Version, but let me share it with you from the King James Version. The King James Version says this: For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. The thoughts of peace. Hey, peace. Calm. Peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Right into the church at Rome, Paul says in the 8th chapter, the 28th verse, and we know, watch this, that all things work together for the good of all who love God. Now, he does not say all things are good, but that God works everything out for our good. It is his loving hand that does it. He takes every experience that we have, all things, the good and the bad, the shattering disappointments and surprising delights, the successes and failures, the bitter and the sweet, when our money is flowing and we find ourselves sometimes without any money to get gas to get to work in our cars. The discouragements and the encouragements, God takes it all. God takes everything and he will work it out for our good. And can I tell you something? When he works it out for our good, he will teach us how to thank him for every hard time you may have ever had. Thank him for every cross you may have had to bear, every load you may have had to carry, and every enemy who tried to hurt you. Can I get personal for about 20 seconds right here? I have now lived long enough, Pastor Charles Jackson Jr., and I've seen enough, and I've watched God work enough, that I'm thankful to God for refusing to give me something that I wanted and forcing me to accept something that I need. I thank God for closing some doors in my face in order to lead me to a higher ground of opportunity. I thank God for blocking some ways to lead me to higher ground. Andre Crouch says, I thank God for my mountain. I thank God for my valleys. I thank God for the storms it brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I would not know that God could solve them. I would never know what faith in God can do. I've learned to trust in God through it all. I've learned to depend on God's word. I thank God for the way he has led me to an expected end. Paul says, be thankful because God is leading us to an expected end. One other thing as we conclude this series of sermons. Paul says, third and finally, be thankful, watch this, because God has prearranged your exodus. This simply means if you're in, you're coming out. I told you in one of the series that God knows the ending from the beginning. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 1, we are not giving up. Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart. On the inside, God is making new life. Somebody might want to say new life. Woo! Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. The Message Bible says, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. God has prearranged our exodus. Paul says he was thankful because he was not conformed to the world, but was transformed by the renewing of his mind. His mind, which was stayed on Jesus, kept his focus on the exodus. Paul says to us today, don't get in God's way. Let God handle it. Our troubles should not diminish our faith or delusion us as believers. Keep focusing on your exodus. During hard times, be careful of decisions you make. Often you can make matters worse. You can go from bad to worse. Be careful of actions you take. You can go from the heat to the fire. You got to remember that God's delay is not God's denial. So keep focus on your exodus. A lot of times when God delays, he's getting ready to do something awesome. When you know that God is getting ready to do something awesome, you can be thankful for what you are about to receive. That's what Paul is saying. Be thankful for what is on the way. Your breakthrough is on the way. Your deliverance is on the way. Your financial blessing is on the way. Your healing is on the way. That for which you have been praying as believers is on the way. Though you have been tried and tested, you have remained faithful and true. So Paul says, be thankful. God has not forgotten you. God has prearranged your exodus. That's how Donald Lawrence puts it in song when Donald Lawrence says, this is my exodus. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. This is your exodus. Starting now. This is a new day. Let me say it again. Starting now. This is a new day. Starting now. This is a new day. You are officially released from your past. This is a new day. And Donna Long says we should sing it. This is my exodus. This is my exodus. This is my exodus. This is my exodus. For God is good, and God is good all the time. I know that it is. I know that it is. I know that it is. Starting now, this is a new day. You are officially released from the pain of your past. This is your exodus. Be encouraged today. If you don't mind, stand on your feet. And if you don't mind, put your hands together to the glory of God and claim, this is my exodus. God has already prearranged it. He knows the ending from the very beginning. Glory, hallelujah. I invite you to Jesus today. I invite you to Jesus today.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 050519. 050519. Be thankful. Of course, you can give us a call, 803-796-6103. That's 803-796-6103. And this is the fourth part of the series, so you can get them all of the B series. We have them available for you in the package. You can get them all today. 803-796-6103 is the number to call, or visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org, and you can purchase this set. It is available now, and you can get the whole entire series. Also, we want to remind you, it is Mother's Day, and as we celebrate mothers on this day, call up, give your mothers a love, or just come by our Banquet and Conference Center and enjoy lunch, dinner with us. We have it right here on our campus, right at Brooklyn Baptist Church. I also want to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for your continued support. Right now, let's get a word from our pastor.
Hello, I am Reverend Charles B. Jackson, senior pastor of the Brooklyn Baptist Church. I want to take a moment and thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast. Consider joining us at our weekly service, 8:15 a.m. or 11 a.m. If you would like to contribute to the ministry of building the next generation of believers, please go to our website at www.brooklandbaptist.org and click on the giving icon. We look forward to meeting you and your family in the future at Brookland.